It's Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby. And we're live in Belfast.
Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello, and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, live from the Empire in Belfast. Also on Joe, together with Guinness. How are you doing? Good. What a crowd. This is unbelievable. Make some noise. That'll show how many people are in the room. Woo.
It's Belfast.
It's Belfast. Yeah. I'm Barry Murphy. This is your very own Andrew Trimble.
Stop. I would just stop. 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 Would you stop?
So what does Belfast mean? What's it mean to you, man?
I always wanted to go to Belfast one day. And finally, that dream has come true. I know you, I know you, I know you. I don't know your name. We're going to have an awkward conversation afterwards. You're going to say, hi, Andrew. I'm only joking. I do know your name. I know all your names.
So this is basically rent a crowd. You just brought all your mates here.
These are my buddies, yeah. Everybody's on the guest list.
Yeah, we've been saying we sold, like, sold this place out. We sold nothing. These
Who
tickets.
Paid a penny? Who paid?
Tickets were all free, but it's still sold out, technically. We're delighted to be here. We've got a great lineup and a great show. This is my first time ever doing a live kind of audience chat thing, so it already feels like it's a wedding, and this is potentially me and Andrew's wedding, because over the last 6 months... What was that? Over the last 6 months, we've gotten quite close, and you know, haven't we? We already.
I think so. I think it's not inconceivable that we could get married.
Yeah, and if we
down
were
south, down south, obviously.
Get with the times.
Not get with this crowd. No way.
Well, if we were to get married, I think I'd be making the groom speech, and I'd be like, doesn't my bride look beautiful tonight, everybody? Doesn't he look...
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Well, I've got a 6'11" bridesmaid to come on. And she is an absolute stunner,
is she?
Let me tell you.
Can't wait to see her. Well, what we have got coming up on the show is we look ahead to the final weekend of the Six Nations Championship. We'll chat with Ireland's bonus point win over France. We'll look ahead to the big Wales game in Cardiff for the weekend. We'll be joined by three class rugby players in Devon, the bridesmaid Toner, Wales legend Dwayne Peel, and 2013 Grand Slam winner and Ireland woman Grace Davitt. We also have tickets to give away later in the show to be included. We want all of you to tweet pictures or Instagram pictures or whatever live feed. And whoever has the best hashtag or the best picture, actually hashtag House of Rugby Live, producer Pat will pick two of the best to go into a competition at the end of the night.
That's the formalities done.
Yeah.
That's the emergency exits, all that stuff. Anyway, but what's your... I mean, have you an affinity with Belfast? Have you any special memories of Belfast?
I have a lot of special memories. I play in a band called Hermitage Green, and we play here regularly. And this is actually my exact spot when I'm playing. It's a lot tighter because there's five of us, and there's usually drums and shite.
And didgeridoos.
Didgeridoos and all the rest. And usually, the Ulster players are really good for supporting us, so Hendy usually stands, like, right in the middle, up front, blocking half the room. And Ian Henderson, this is, and he mouths all the words to me because he knows the words to every one of our songs, which is quite weird.
It's creepy.
It's creepy, and I think he intentionally makes it like that. So he's a huge fan. Tommy is always here. You have yet to show up to one gig of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not into our music base there. Yeah.
I'm just waiting. I just don't get it. I don't know.
Before here, I also had an experience in Ravenhill. Not the best experiences. My first time ever there was 2006, and I broke my leg horrifically, and I screamed for 10 minutes on the pitch. I'm so embarrassed. I'm still to this day embarrassed about it. And then they gave me morphine, and they brought me off the pitch, and the doctor and everyone, I think it was, who was the doctor at the time? David Irwin was the doctor at the time. Brilliant. So sound. Looked after me and gave me loads of gas and everything, and then I went to the hospital, and the nurses there were kind of playing down my injury, and I was like, oh shit, I hope it's at least like something that will keep me out
for, please be broken,
three, 4 weeks maybe, because she was like, I think this is grand, I think it's fine. I was like, fuck, I was literally crying on the pitch. It turned out it was a double fracture and a dislocation, so I was out.
Oh, what a relief.
Yeah, exactly. The following year, I came back, and my first game back was up here in Ravenhill, and I broke my hand after 5 minutes, so it's always been pretty miserable. But
that's the reception you get. That's the Ulster reception.
Tough place to go, but hopefully I won't break a bone tonight. I'll get through this okay. We actually interviewed Will Addison on this stage earlier on tonight.
Any Will Addison fans? Not as big as us.
No.
Absolutely. We're running an inquiry at the minute, actually. And now you're a suspect. Just listen out for any more suspects.
Anyone quacking? Was it you?
That was quite a well-worded heckle there. Quite a long-winded, well-worded heckle. So you can get someone. I don't think that's very Will Addison Feeds Duck-esque.
Isn't it?
I think he's off the hook.
What? Okay. Okay, I thought you said it was.
Sorry.
No.
Right. No, he's grand. That was you. That was you.
Me? Never passed the ball in my life. We had Will Addison in here earlier on. For any of you that listened to the show, we're obsessed with him a little bit. I think rightly so. If any Ulster fans are in the house, he's an unbelievable player, right? What a find. Dwayne Peel will be here later on to tell us how it was all his influence bringing into Ulster, apparently. But we also talked to Will about his freakish injury / what would you call it?
It's a disability.
It's a disability. He has a thumb that is like dislocated so much so that it allows him to hold the ball in one hand and offload like a freak. And it's an incredible disability.
Yeah.
You have something kind of similar?
Mine looks uglier and there's less benefits.
Andrew gave me the finger earlier on, and this is what I can't believe I haven't noticed this till now. Look at it. What is that? Do
it's
that.
Not, it's
Do
not.
That. Look how inoffensive this is.
It's only whenever you don't have that string to your bow, whenever you can't offend people, you wish you could. Because now it's not offensive. It's just, you know, it's humorous. Very switched on. You're a duck feeder. Oh, we'll come back to you on that. We don't know what you mean.
Anyway.
Anyway, so we're going to bring...
Are you going to intro our first guest?
Yeah, so this man, I've known him for a long time. His name is Dev Toner. He's on 12 grand a year, disability allowance from the government. Technically, he's disabled, but to us, he's just very, very tall. Dev Toner, everyone, please go mental. How about that?
Let's stand up. Thank you, Dev. See you, buddy. Thanks a million.
How are you doing?
So Dev and I were at the game yesterday, doing a little bit of a corporate thing you only get to do when you're injured or retired. And my young fella came in, and Dev scared the life out of him. He goes, "Hi, Daddy," and he goes, "Nice to move." But I mean, you're not actually disabled, Dev, are you? You're just tall.
No, I'm not, no.
Is that a myth, that story?
That is the longest running myth that is out.
I remember
there
hearing
about
that.
Me, yes. Yeah. That I can get the bus for free, that I can I can get disabled parking spots, that I get a stipend from the government to get clothes and cars. But it is all not true.
Oh,
if only it was.
So disappointed.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a shame.
Sorry, I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah. It's such a shame.
That's all we've got here.
Yeah, no. Have a great night, folks. See you, folks. No, I mean, to be fair, we know that that's a rumor. We know that's fake because we actually were right there. I was the one spreading that rumor. I remember, so we did this trip with Ireland schools or 21s or
it
something?
It was schools. Yeah, it was schools, yeah.
And that was whenever your secret got out, your fake secret. So we started spreading rumors. Someone told me, to be fair, and I thought, that is brilliant. It's not likely to be true.
Oh, yeah.
That you're on a disability allowance.
Yeah.
I think actually you walked in when someone else was spreading the rumor. Okay. Someone else was like, do you know Dev Tuner gets 12 grand a year? Hi, Dev. But it's not true, then. It's not true.
If only. If only it was.
Yeah. You'd be earning a lot of money then.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably doing all right.
We had David O'Doherty, the comedian, on the show a couple of weeks ago, probably our best guest to date, and he made a good point that of all the international rugby players that he hears that are the best in the world, all he wants to know is how good they were when they were 10 and 11 years of age. Like, were they scoring 10 tries a game and just running over everyone? So how big were you when you were 10?
So when I was 12, when I went into first year in school, I was 12, I was 6'4". So I was... So I was 10, I was probably 6'2".
Wow.
6 foot maybe.
That is the same reaction we got whenever I showed them my disabled finger.
I still wasn't very good, though.
No, so you weren't scoring 10 tries a game.
No, it wasn't, no.
But you picked up rugby late, though, didn't you?
No, I played under 10s, under 12s for North Kildare, and then obviously went to school and played in school. So
your mum and dad must have thought you were an absolute gold mine.
Like, a gravy
train. You're
going to
make
like
a fortune out of this kid.
I don't think so, though, to be honest. But
is that what you were trying to do with your kid yesterday? Getting him into the media already at 2 years of age.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
You actually live on the same street as David O'Doherty.
I do, yeah.
Anralla,
yeah.
Wow, what's that like?
I know, yeah. And around the corner from Ferg as well, Ferg McFadden. So, it's great. You see him the whole time now, yeah. So he's, apart from putting when he's on tour. I don't see Ralla that much now, to be honest. He's, I don't know where he's gone, to be honest.
Keeps a low profile, doesn't he?
He gives tours of the Aviva, I think.
He does, yeah, he does. Yeah.
Perfect man.
He loves it. Oh, 100%, yeah.
I imagined you like Last of the Summer Wine, the four lads just walking around the streets. Scaling fences or whatever they've been doing.
Oh, God.
Solving crimes.
Yeah.
Solving crimes.
David O'Doherty, you and Rala.
But you're a big fan of David O'Doherty, aren't you?
Ah, yeah. I think he's hilarious. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he likes the show.
I know he's a good friend of yours as well.
He's come on the show and he's just kept us unbelievably entertained nonstop. That show went on for about an hour and 20 minutes or something, and we didn't mention rugby once. In fact, we actually tried to get back to rugby, and the other way around. We were going on tangents, and he was the one. He loves his rugby.
Yeah, because he played the school, didn't he?
Yeah. He
played Dennis Hickey, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
He won a senior cup.
What was it?
Didn't he, Baz?
Junior cup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a loser.
Sorry, David O'Doherty.
Sorry, David.
Okay, we're going to leave you alone about your height after this one, but you did drop a load of rugby gear into St. Vincent de Paul. Like, what were you thinking there?
I did say what size it was.
Yeah.
And, like, there are larger people as well.
Some bed sheets,
that
maybe.
Would fit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's the same. So, like, you do, like, you know when you're finished with your shoes and all, you put them in the clothes bin as well. Like, and seeing lads walking around with size 15 shoes going around the place. And, like, I don't know if
it doesn't happen very often.
No, not really. No.
Well, what's going on? So you're injured at the minute. Then, are you enjoying? Is it nice? You've never been injured.
Yeah, no, so I had surgery on my ankle about 4 weeks ago now, and it's pretty weird not being playing, not being involved, like just doing rehab and weights and conditioning every day is a bit weird, and seeing the games and all. It's given the rest of probably my body a bit of a rest and try and rejuvenate as well, so hopefully I can come back better for it.
Yeah. Any date in mind?
So they originally said 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. So another probably 6 or 7, but hopefully we can kind of shave some time off that. Hopefully another maybe 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah. Will you be back for the quarterfinal, please?
Remains to be seen. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Oh. Yeah. That is good news.
The joy. I feel it. Don't hide it, lads. Don't hide it. Well, there was a lot of talk of the mindset going into the French game at the weekend from the Irish team, having had a few difficult weeks, apparently. How do you think they did after all that pressure, getting that result?
Like, I think they put on a fairly dominant display. I think that obviously that first half, they were quite dominant, as I said. Like, France didn't really get in their own half at all, did they? I think they really wanted to put down a marker just for being home as well. Do you mean being the Viva and having lost the last day against England? I think they really wanted to put down a marker and put down a good performance, obviously, for the fans and for themselves in particular as well. So I think they obviously came out of the blocks in the first half really dominant. Kind of, I'm sure they'd be disappointed letting in the two tries at the end of the game. But overall, it was a brilliant performance, I think.
Yeah, there was an immediate sign of relief, wasn't there, after 2 minutes when we got that try? Yeah. Just that we brought that energy. I think I felt it. Yeah. I'm sure you must have felt it as well.
I think there's a lot of confidence as well. So like, they were obviously giving away a lot of penalties, and we were kicking to the corner instead of kind of going for the points, and showed kind of confidence in the obviously the pack and the line out and going for the tries as well. Yeah, so showed a bit of confidence there.
It was weird that in a game where France gave away penalties non-stop, that there was no yellow cards. Then obviously Rory got that first try, got Ireland off to off running. It was a nice, I suppose, for Rory's big send-off, Rory's last home game. Well, he kind of left it open, didn't he, a little bit?
Did he? I didn't
he hear. Did, yeah. He said, I'm probably going to retire after the World Cup. Yeah. Is he saying there, I mean, is he just keeping his options open there, or I think he's fairly sure he's going to finish up? Anyway, there was a bit of chat about it. Had the kids on the pitch and all.
Yeah.
Would that have been something? You know, you play with Rory for a long time. Obviously, it'd be nice to give him a big send off for the last home game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Obviously, he's a bit of he's a legend around these parts. A legend around the whole of Ireland, obviously. But obviously he played great, and to get that try was great for him. Obviously, you know him a lot better than all of us, so you kind of know what he's talking about with the retirement. I was delighted for him to get that try. I think it was James Ryan that picked him up and picked him up over the line and put him down.
I know, yeah. Rory kind of drove his way over.
Yeah.
I was going, Rory hasn't got that much of a leg drive. I was going, absolutely, James Ryan has got him by the scruff of the neck, and he's kind of like Nelson Muntz style. Just bashed him over.
The battering ram.
Yeah, but we're kind of... kind of apart from the last 5 minutes where kind of a little bit leaky where fans come back, but is that us kind of back on track now?
Obviously you'd like to think so. And traditionally Ireland have gotten better over the Six Nations. And hopefully it's going to lead into a great game, obviously this coming weekend. But obviously, like, I think, what did I read? I think Ireland have never lost the last Six Nations game under Joe, but they've also never won in Wales. So obviously it's obviously going to be a huge game. Like, and to have never won over there would probably Joe wouldn't like that very much. So he'd obviously be delighted to get a win over there.
Yeah, Joe's been unbelievably good for you. You only played what, 3 or 4 times with Declan, apparently.
Yeah,
so we got told.
Oh. Yeah, well, like I said, it's not Decky's fault, I suppose. It's my fault as well. Like, so I got capped by Decky in 2010. I got like 3 caps, and then obviously didn't play for a while. Obviously because it was Paulie, it was Donica, there was the other Donica, Ryan, there was Mick O'Driscoll. Like, there was loads of lads. But then 2013, Joe gave me kind of my first kind of real stint into international rugby, and then kind of went on from there.
Yeah, and then you kind of, it got to the point where you're kind of first name down. If we're going to get a line out that functions, you get DevTuner in there. It's nice to have someone like Joe who knows his rugby as well as Joe and is as well thought of as Joe, kind of backs you and supports you, and you're one of his favourites.
I wouldn't say that, but as you said, it's great to have the confidence of your coaches. It's great to have, obviously, the confidence to see that he can do a job for you and that you can do what he wants you to do, I suppose, and getting picked is obviously an example of confidence. So, yeah, no, it's all good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of competition there in that position at the moment, yeah. Like Hendy and James Ryan doing so well at the weekend, so I'm sure you're chewing at the bit to get back in there. And
100%. Obviously James Ryan is the new phenom coming up, and he won the James Ryan Award again, the man of the match.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable for the last two or three years, James has, and obviously Hendy speaks for himself. He's a class player himself, but like you can't overlook Olsen and Ty Byrne and Quinn Roo, and like there's so much competition in the second round nowadays.
Well, Ty Byrne in particular, I mean he's making turnovers for fun. He's running amok with Munster. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it just a reflection of the competition, or
he's been unlucky with injuries as well. So he did his knee obviously at the start, and he's only coming back. And I think he was struggling a bit during the week, so with his back maybe. But that's just what I'm hearing. Do you know what I mean? So I don't really know, to be honest. He might be in the back of the mix for this weekend. Like, so wouldn't be surprised to see him in because he's such a class player, but. Once you're out of the squad, you're kind of out. You don't really know what's going on.
And to be fair to Alton, Delang came on and had an incredible impact.
Yeah.
Carried some very.
He's such a dynamic ball carrier.
Yeah.
And like when he hits you, he hits you. Like.
Yeah. It's something like, you know, it's an interesting one. The competition is so high that when you see Alton come into the squad about 3 years ago, made a big impact, mm-hmm. has dropped off, and you know, certain players step up, they get their opportunity. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden they're ahead of him, mm-hmm. And all it takes is that one opportunity really to get mm-hmm. back in the squad, isn't it?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like that's the nature of rugby, though, isn't it? Like it happens in every position and in every walk of life. Do you mean you gotta take your chances when you can?
You know what second rows are really good at? Whenever the lineout doesn't go well, not taking the blame. It's always the hooker's fault.
Yeah, isn't it? And if they obviously take a class line out, it's all on them.
Yes. Yeah. They'll take the praise, but not the criticism.
Yeah.
So have you...
what a bunch of players.
I've taken my fair share of criticism over the years, I'll tell you that.
Dev, you're an absolute golden balls. You can do no wrong.
Come on now.
Actually, I was looking at your name today, just staring at it, and it's a great name for like tabloid headlines. For Devon's sake, when you mess up, or Devon got the custard.
Or, spelled differently.
Devon sets the toner.
That's nearly as bad as. Michael Checa's nickname for me, he used to call me Inkjet.
Inkjet.
Toner. Toner goes in a printer. I was like, it's surprising because I had nothing to do with my height. But
I had one more that was like, Devon's so good, he's given me a... And he was like... Hard on.
Also not great when you're in school and your second name rhymes with that.
Were you worried you were going to get bullied in school, Dev?
verbal abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can repay that with some physical abuse very easily.
No, a gentle giant.
Are you?
Yeah.
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 So... Yeah, you don't strike me as someone who's ferocious.
To be fair, like...
Vicious, sorry. Vicious is the word I was looking
Thanks
for.
Thanks very much.
You know, like, you just... You can throw people around the place, but you do it with a smile on your face. Whereas Paul O'Connell, on the other hand. Yeah. We literally called him psychopath in Munster because he was such a psycho. Yeah. Is that something that's going out of the game these days? Are there as many? Do you come up against many? Would you be looking at other international players now and go, fuck, he's
I don't think there's
psycho.
Enough. There's not enough psychos in the game nowadays. Yeah.
Is there?
The sooner you retire, the better. We'll get some more psychos in the game.
I think it is going out a little bit, to be honest. Like, obviously, with you can't do anything because obviously the amount of camera angles and replays and like everything, like it's not obviously like dirty stuff as well. Like, do you know what I mean? It is kind of going out a little bit. But like, there are your fair share of psychos over there, as well. Like,
who? Names here.
I don't know any names. I don't know.
Name three psychos.
Come on. I don't know.
Are there any on your own team that you'd be like, nice one, I've got a psycho on my team? Because I used to love having Paul O'Connell on the team. Like,
psycho.
O'Mahony's...
Pete O'Mahony, he'd be up there maybe. Keane Healy.
Yeah.
Some of them boys.
Pete O'Mahony's a shirt grabber. Yeah. Neil Best was the last psycho I played with.
Yes. Yeah. He was mad.
Here, here. Very proud of Neil Best. Yeah. It's a bit of a psycho thing to say.
Wasn't he mad? Yeah. He was good.
He was fearless, yeah.
Yeah.
Good lad, though.
What's he at now?
Lives in Singapore. Just writes articles abusing Ulster coaches.
he'd a pop off the president at the RFU at one stage as well, didn't he? Yeah. When he was playing, like,
good lad though. Good lad.
Yeah. Oh, I think he was speaking for everyone, but everyone else was just like, yeah.
Great tourist.
Yeah. We could do a few more psychos. Yeah. Although Paulie was actually a gentle psycho at heart.
Yeah.
He was. I remember once driving home from a game with Paulie from Cork, and he was driving, and I was sitting next to him, and we were just chatting away, and. We looked ahead and there was a rabbit hopping across the road in front of us. And I think we both thought at the same time that if he just keeps on moving, that we'll just go past him. So we're driving and the rabbit just stopped and just looked straight into the headlights. And Paulie just fucking smacked straight into the rabbit. And you could just hear this dink of the... off the bonnet of the car, and he was like, oh no, oh no, oh no! And I was couldn't stop laughing at what had happened. But he described what had potentially happened, like he was probably in the bushes with his family, and he was like, I'm going to go out and get you some food, and they're like, thanks, Dad, and he's like, hey. Hopped out, and then Paul O'Connell just mows them down in his car. So I thought that
before he goes, they're like, watch out for psychos, yeah? You know who's a current psycho?
Who?
Sexton.
He is.
I think Sexton's a bit of a psycho.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of a red mist, hasn't he?
Ooh.
Like.
Oh! We do this Game of Thrones comparison on our show where we split up the different provinces into...
Right.
Are you a fan of Game of Thrones?
I am.
So he loves Game of Thrones.
You're the Lannisters, unfortunately, a Leinster.
What?
Because the name and... just because.
He's the mountain.
He's the mountain, yeah.
I'll go with that. No, we're not.
Johnny's Joffrey.
Johnny's Joffrey.
Yeah.
God.
He's just killing people left, right, and centre for the crack.
Who's Tyrion?
Stockdale, you're dead.
Who's
kill him.
Who's Tyrion?
Nugget. Sean Cronin.
He's Tyrion, is he?
I don't know. For no reason.
Yeah. Ulster were the wildlings beyond the wall. It was kind of felt suitable.
It's a little bit political.
We're the... Yeah, but, go on.
Beyond the hard border.
No. It's a soft wall. It's cold, but it's a soft wall.
It's coming down now.
Yeah.
It's right. Game of Thrones.
That's Game of Thrones done.
Spoiler.
I wanted to be the Starks. I tried. I felt like I argued our corner a little bit. I wanted to be the Starks. And I just felt like he shouted louder and made us the wildlings.
He's been giving ye the Starks and Munster the wildlings, who I've been doing vice versa.
Yeah.
But Should we just fight to the death and see who wins?
Yeah. Yeah. One of us fight with him. He'll guide your eyes
just
out.
Just crush your heads, yeah.
Name your champion. Yeah. To fight for you.
Yeah. All right, to be fair, you wouldn't be my champion, I would think.
He's my champion. Yeah. You boys bonded quite a lot in your years, I think. You good pals?
Yeah. Our careers kind of went along the same sort of path. We both struggled to get game time with the last coach. And then we kind of kicked on and we both won this in 2014.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
You're not allowed to touch it, right?
No, no, touch it.
Yeah. I think Chris Henry's in the crowd as well, actually. Chris was there that day. Chris?
I can't see.
Give
anything.
Us a quack. Yeah, so the three boys. And we played schools together, under 21s together.
Yeah, I think you were a year ahead of me in school, were you?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, because you were like the next big thing, and like he was like the next Brian Driscoll, the next 13. He was.
I was the next Jacob Stockdale.
He played 2 years of our school.
Yeah, you know, like one Andrew of those Trimble. Lads. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, yeah. So, like, he was older than me as well, like, do you know what I mean? So, he's. So, I was kind of that 1 year below you. But then when we got obviously playing together in Ireland, we obviously kind of got on.
Yeah, we hit it off. We were besties for a while. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Me, Dev, and Chad.
A bit jealous now.
This is bad timing. We just got married.
He's your bridesmaid, to be fair. Yeah. Yeah.
He's been sleeping with the groom.
Surprise. There has been a lot of talk of the mindset over the last few weeks. What's your take on that? Like, within the camp, is there... a need for, like a lot of people who say they need to go on the piss, they need to be a little bit happier, and there's a lot of talk about those kind of things. What's your take on
those things? I don't think there's a need to go on the piss. I don't think, it's always good to go out and have a few beers together, and like everyone really enjoys everyone's company. Like there's nothing going on. There's nothing like deep or wrong going on in the camp. Do you know what I mean? It's like we've won 20 of the last 22 games. There's nothing to be worried about. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's a lot of fuss about nothing, to be honest. We just needed a good performance to get back on track, and we just needed to get back to the basics, basically. And once we did that, once we started doing that, obviously early on in the France game, just the confidence comes back. And once you start getting over the gain line and doing the basics right, and obviously not dropping the ball, and just as I said, just getting the basics absolutely right, it just gets that confidence back. So it's nothing.
That'll be good for us, won't it? That game of the weekend.
Yeah,
because we got the win, and it was reasonably plain sailing up until conceding those couple of late tries. But we looked in control the whole time. We looked really confident. Our shape was good. Mm. It'd be good for us going to Wales, thinking, we can play a bit of rugby here. We can stretch them.
Mm. Yeah, like the lads looked buzzing in the first half. I think CJ was like a man possessed running around the place. Like Pete played class. James Ryan, Hendy was ripping balls from lads. Like it was like they all played like really well. I think Gary Ringrose came back in and he had a phenomenal game. And I think if we just keep that enthusiasm and keep that kind of dominant mindset to get over the game line to kind of obviously, as I said, get back to the basics. I think if we just keep that mindset, it'll obviously do us well over there.
I think the margins are so fine at that level. Like if you look at that English match, when I look back and watch it a few times, it was very similar to the English or to the All Blacks game in terms of how we played. It's the same, the same patterns, same styles, and sometimes you get the bounce of the ball, sometimes they do, and momentum shifts, and I suppose in the heat of the moment you can get flustered, and a team can get on top, and that's what happened when Wales beat England. I felt the momentum shifted with them and they got on top of them. And you saw, as you said, at the weekend for France, we got on top of them. So, it is those fine margins.
As I said, exactly. It's like just these little one percenters that I just say, there's just the margins are so fine, and especially, obviously, provincial rugby. And then once they get into international rugby, they get smaller and smaller. Do you know what I mean? And obviously we got the win against Italy, but when balls weren't going to hand, or we were just obviously dropping that first pass, and then just things weren't sticking, and then it's just obviously just those tiny things.
Yeah. Mm. Not looking too far ahead, but the World Cup in autumn. do you kind of take this Six Nations as something separate to that? And you kind of, you know, do you think if we hadn't rioted that it might have affected us? Or is it a, I would love to think that it's a case of, no, you get this out of the way and then you move on and you prepare completely differently.
No, like obviously when we're obviously in the Six Nations, you take that as your obviously tournament. Like you want to go win it, you want to play as well as you can in this actual tournament. So that's obviously one off. But then obviously when you get into the World Cup and you're getting into warm games, you will look back at your performances in the Six Nations and see what you've done well and see what you've done wrong and what you need to work on. So obviously in the Six Nations, you're just worrying on that. Because mm-hmm. it's such a huge tournament and it means so much to everyone, to the players and the fans and everyone to win it. So you're focusing just on that. But then obviously when you get to this World Cup preparation, you will look back on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're still hoping to get to the World Cup, Andrew and Barry. We've got a swear jar that we forgot to bring with us this week. But if anyone would like to contribute, we'll just throw some cash on the counter there. Come with us if you will. Will Anderson is coming with us apparently. If he doesn't get picked, he's gonna jump on board.
Fingers crossed he stays injured.
Yeah.
Just because we get to spend more time with him. I mean, I'm happy to sacrifice Ulster's performances.
He was flirting with him so much earlier on. He was dressed the same as him. Will is sitting there. You even did like a Sharon Stone moment in Basic Instinct. Started smoking a cigarette. I was like, "Why? You don't even smoke? What are you doing?"
Yeah, they say don't meet your heroes, but he certainly didn't disappoint, did he?
No, he didn't. He's amazing.
He's dreamy, yeah.
Just pity you were cock blocking the shit out of me. Dev, thank you so much for coming in. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Best of luck with the recovery. Actually, you're going to stay on later on for the chat, so. We're going to take a 15-minute break now, and then we'll be back after the break for a few more chats. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Round of applause for Devin Toner. Sorry. Thank you.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We're going to go straight in and look ahead towards the Guinness Six Nations title decider between Ireland and our buddies Wales in Cardiff this weekend. But to do so, I want you to welcome two players that achieved some great deeds in their respective careers. First up, it is former Ulster and Ireland star and 2013 Grand Slam winner Grace Davitt. Hi, Grace. How you doing?
All right.
Joining her on the couch, we have a man who's played 76 times for Wales, won Grand Slams in 2005 and 2008, started all three tests for the Lions in 2005. He is also assistant coach to Dan McFarlane at Ulster. It is, of course, Dwayne Peel. Sorry, everybody. Want to introduce Dev again?
Well, did you say the same stuff?
Yeah.
Dev is 6'11" and he gets 12 grand a year. Come on, Dev, would you?
Devin Toner, ladies and gentlemen. Already sick of us. Dwayne, if we could start with you, I suppose what better way to start and look ahead to the Ireland-Wales match this weekend and a man that might be in the know. What's the buzz like in Wales at the moment?
Yeah, obviously I think we're all looking forward to the game. Obviously I think that's the momentum sort of with Wales at the minute. I feel like, you know, I think we've gone 13 or 14 games unbeaten now, so I think Ireland having such a good couple of years has probably helped in many ways. You know, I think they've gone under the radar a bit, Wales, and I'm sort of been chasing Ireland a bit, you know, and I think that, they've been pretty consistent. I think defensively they've been class. So, I think it'll be a good, maybe another Grand Slam, hopefully.
Yeah. Says with a smile on his face. And Warren Gatland's final send-off in Six Nations. Obviously, he's been an incredibly successful coach. Could you give us an insight what it's like to work under a guy like that? And he always seems to get his team into the zone for those big games.
Yeah, I think management is probably his strength. You know, I think he likes, you know, he obviously gets his team playing well, you know. And I think just the mental side of things is huge for him. You know, he likes to you know, get the boys all fired up and things. And you know, in fairness, some of the play has been, you know, very direct and very, very physical since he's been there. You know, I think that he works the guys hard off the field physically, in the gym and so forth. And I think, you know, Wales have played like that as well under him. You know, they've been fortunate. They've had a lot of big guys and athletic guys in the time he's been there. But I think that you know, he'll want to finish on a high, and I think, you know, he's been really good. Albeit, you know, didn't pick me much, but yeah. I think he's been excellent, to be fair, for Wales.
And he's, I suppose, made a controversial decision to pick Gareth Anscombe for the last few games, but what's your thoughts on that? It's obviously working.
I think he's picked
very
on,
well.
He's picked on form, to be fair. I think that, you know, in the summer he was very good on the tour when they went to Argentina. And the autumn he was very, very good as well. So, you know, they went unbeaten in the autumn, so he deserves to keep his place for me. And, yeah, no, they haven't lost a game, you know, in the last eight under him when he's played a 10. So, yeah, he deserves to keep the shirt. He's been going well.
Is it lose-lose for Ireland this weekend? Because if Ireland win, if Ireland win, then England win Six Nations, and it's not much of an incentive.
Dev's like, shit. Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I think that, yeah, I don't know.
Not that I can be celebrating, exactly. I suppose, yeah.
You're not even considering that, really. You're thinking Grand Slam ready for Wales.
I just think it's...
Grand Slams just come so easy to you, don't they?
Well...
How many Grand Slams you got, Pili?
Two.
Just two, yeah. Just Dev?
The...
One. Grace?
One.
Paz?
A what?
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Did you?
No, I didn't get Grand Slam.
Oh, shit, I thought you did.
But believe it or not.
Great. Yeah. You did have that Grand Slam decider against Ireland in 2005, 32-10, you won that game. Can you remember much of that? Can you take us back?
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember it was boiling hot day, the roof was open, and we hadn't won it for 30 years. I don't think Wales had won a Grand Slam for 30 years since the, you know, the 70s or something, or 2005. But yeah, so it was pretty cool. Tom Jones was singing before the game. That was pretty cool.
I love the way. Do Wales do that much anymore? They used to always do that.
They used to do that. Yeah.
Stereophonics used to come out, or Manic Street Preachers, and.
But it was good. It was awesome, and obviously you get the win and a good couple of nights out after. So it was good times. Dined out for a while, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, you're dead right. That's good. Grace, you were down in Dublin at the weekend to see the Ireland women against France. Tough day at the office.
Yeah.
Against a very tough French team, I'd even say. How were they looking apart from the result?
Yeah, like, I suppose the thing you have to think about is, like, England and France are both professional now. You know, that French setup, they're unbelievable and they're so physical. They lost a couple of strong players, like Safi Ndiaye is really physical. Carson is a heptathlete, and I thought maybe Ireland would match them a bit more. And I suppose at the start of the game they did. France got off out of the blocks very early, and Ireland got a yellow card, I'd say, in the first 2 minutes. And then France scored, Ireland scored, France scored, Ireland scored, and then it kind of floodgates open. But kind of like the men... Ireland had a lot of possession, but literally one lost ball, France capitalised on it, and we chip over and regather, and they were scoring tries for fun then in the second half. So kind of made the score look a bit one-sided, but Ireland actually had a lot of possession, but just weren't able to turn it into points.
Yeah, I heard Lynn Cantwell make a really interesting point the other day. She was talking about the level that French women's rugby is at is so high, and they're so impressive that she almost wanted to see them play as well as they could, despite the fact that they beat Ireland, but how good that would be for women's rugby and to show how much has progressed over the last few years. I thought that was a really interesting point. Is that something that you'd share?
Yeah, I think like when we were playing France, they were always so physical. A lot of them girls play rugby from minis, you know, which was something unheard of when we started playing. It was like you were 18 years of age, or now obviously it's getting a lot younger. But I think that is what you want to see. You want to see good competitive matches. You don't want to see the one-sided affairs where it's 53-0. You know, you want a good match, but you want to see the skill set and see how far they've come. And I don't think the French played as well as they could have. I think they were just weren't really bothered. As soon as they got their bonus point before halftime, they were like, yeah, Graham, we've done what we had to do. But I think Lynn's right. You're trying to make it that it's just a game of rugby. It's not women's rugby and, you know, it's slower pace or they're not as good as skills. So it is about trying to, I suppose, promote it a little bit more.
Yeah.
You're doing a bit of coaching and a bit of media.
Yeah.
You're doing a bit of media at the game, were you?
Yeah, well? I commentate on RTÉ Radio. Uh-huh. Yeah, so with Michael Corcoran, so it's good fun.
You're in safe hands there anyway.
Yeah.
When did you retire then?
So I retired in 2014, uh-huh. post World Cup. I was debating. I didn't retire as soon as the World Cup finished. I kind of was like, will I go another Six Nations? Will I not?
Yeah.
And then I decided, my body kind of decided, right, it's time to go. And then they went and won another Six Nations after that. So I probably should have maybe waited one more year.
Did you go straight into the coaching and the media then?
Yeah, so I kind of took over at my club that I was playing with. I was playing with Cook, and I kind of went from a player role to a kind of player coach's role. And then as I my body totally got wrecked, then I was more of a coach then. And then I took a year out as I totally burnt out from doing it all. But
was that tricky? Was that a tricky transition? Because we had Will Addison in earlier on.
Yeah.
And he played with Peely. And he said Peely was way better crack and more dead on when he was a player.
Probably. You're more like going, no, Grace, you're totally wrong. Why are you trying to tell us to do that? Like when you were on the pitch, you didn't do that. And you're like, no, do as I say, not as I do, you know? So.
Yeah, and then the media thing as well, because I've experienced this recently. You have to just be a little bit more objective, but you're very aware. I must have said us and, you know, us talking about Ulster, I don't know how many times, that for Premier Sport, I actually got the director in my ear saying, stop saying, oh,
yeah,
or you'll not be back.
You're objective.
Yeah.
I suppose. So,
but then you don't want to be, I mean, if you get too, I like kind of being a bit naive because I'm unashamedly an Ulster fan, and that's very difficult for that to change. You find that as well?
I think on radio it's a little bit easier because you're going, oh, like you're kind of not making any noise, but you're doing the actions, you know, but you keep your mouth shut. So you're kind of holding your head in your hands. And so you get away with it a little bit more. I'd say if I was on camera now, it would be a different story. You'd be able to capture that.
Yeah, well, you say you keep your mouth shut. See, I haven't kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, I forget what game, it might have been Scarlets or Edinburgh, one of the early games. And it was when Henry Speight came over. It might have been his first game. I hadn't even met Henry Speight. And he got the ball and took off down the wing. And I was there, go on, Henry! Henry is just like we're mates. And that's when I got told off. I think I'm just deluded. I think I'm just like pure Ulster. And it's not a good trait whenever you're trying to be objective.
I think I worked on the Women's World Cup final that was actually in Ravenhill, and I was lucky enough to get to do the New Zealand-England game, and I think that was really nice because I was totally objective. You know, I knew a lot of the English girls from playing against them. You know, I admired a lot of the New Zealand girls from seeing them play and playing against them and stuff, so I think that was an amazing game. It was a huge spectacle for women's rugby. You know, it was end-to-end stuff. It was exciting to the last minute, you know, so I really enjoyed doing that one. Because as you say, although, say, at the weekend, France are winning and you're trying to, like, highlight how good a play France are doing and, you know, they're really good players. And at the same time, you know, you're going, why are the Irish girls not doing better? You know, come on, girls, get a G up. So it is nice doing it when it's not players you know, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Michael Corcoran's always good for giving that G up as well. Like, he finds it very difficult to not get behind the Irish team.
Yeah,
looking ahead to the Irish game this weekend, have you any thoughts on how, you know, I haven't seen them, Ireland perform so well against France the weekend, they get the win. How do you think they'll do going into the final game against Wales?
It's a must-win game. You know, they're sitting fourth at the minute. If they lose to Wales, they'll drop to fifth. We're usually, you know, every Six Nations, you're usually talking the worst in recent years will be third. Italy are sitting on that spot at the minute. Obviously, Italy beat Ireland, which was the first time in a long time in the Six Nations, or the only time in the Six Nations. But I think they showed in spells how well they played, you know, even with Leah Lyons and Michelle Claffey injured, you know, you had Enya Breen in for first cap, did extremely well there, you know, and Lindsay Peet's back from injury. And I think if they match up front, especially the back row, you know, Lily Crapp's doing really well, and then obviously you've Claire Malloy and Kira Griffin as like have playing stormers. So I think it's a real battle of that back row, how well they do and how well they dominate in that breakdown area. But it's always a real battle with the Welshies, you know. It's always a real close game. Like, yeah, they're always on the edge, you know. So I really hope they win. Like, I really do.
And Dwayne, for the Irish match on Sunday, as you said, on Saturday, the Welsh defence obviously being very strong at the moment. If you were to look at that Welsh defence, how would you look at ways that Ireland could break them down?
I think I'd probably one of Joe Schmidt's trademarks is sort of set piece attack and finding little ways of breaking down defences. And I think, you know, I think over the last couple of games, Wales traditionally have been very strong in phase attack. You know, Scotland caused them a few troubles on the weekend, but I just think, you know, maybe you'd have to go after that sort of launch play type plays for me. Mm-hmm. You know, try and beat them at source there. I think that's what Ireland will target. I don't know, Dev, you probably know more than me on that really, but it's probably a trademark of Ireland over the last couple of years. We've had good sort of set piece attack and good launch plays and being able to break people down that way.
Yeah, and obviously like one of the most important things for that is getting the actual ball from the line out, you know what I mean? So like and we kind of got back on track last weekend with Hendy coming in and he called a great line out, and I think again with set piece it's kind of that confidence. When you come to get that confidence back, you're kind of going after it. So it's obviously set piece is hugely important this weekend.
Would you change much going into each different game against a different opponent in what you do, or is it very much this is how we play and we'll just impose this on each team, or
set piece wise
just in general?
No, like you do adapt to whoever you're playing. Obviously you get told by the coaches what you're going to do, how you're going to play, but like you have obviously your characteristics of a team of how you think you're going to play, and obviously As a general game plan, you would obviously have stuff you stick to, like your non-negotiables and what you want to get out of every game. But as you said, I think every team is different, and you gotta be able to adapt that at every week.
What about Ulster Pili this year? Obviously, last year was a long old season, and I think whenever you came in, you more or less said, you know, Tommy Trimby, you lads are going to be gone. So that was fine. I was happy enough. there's obviously a lot of youngsters. Robbie Little, Balakun, Jacob's still a youngster, believe it or not. And we seem to be going the right direction. We seem to be making significant steps. And what about Dan? What about the influence he's had? And it just looks like there's a lot to be positive about.
Yeah, definitely. I think positivity throughout the squad has been really good. I think that some of them young guys are really... Well, had to be thrown in many respects because, you know, we've had a lot of injuries and stuff, and they've been exposed early, really. And, you know, fair play to them. They've taken their chances, and they've been brilliant for us. So, you know, from that perspective, it's great to see that those guys coming through. You know, the guys you mentioned there. And you know, I just think that, you know, some of the big players as well have been very good for us this year. You know, Jacob as well on the wing has been in great form, hasn't he? You know, especially in the European games, he's.
I'm sick of Jacob. I don't even think he's that good.
I think you're better. You're better. You're great.
That's because we're married. You have to say that.
I'm gonna have an affair with Jacob Stockdale.
Even like Billy Burns has been good. I think, you know, I think he's been a great addition to the squad. And you know, you mentioned Will. Good two good characters as well, not just good rugby players. They've been good in the dressing room and stuff for the lads, and you know they.
Peely, are you the duck feeder?
No.
Do you have any idea who the duck feeder is?
Not a clue. No.
That's exactly what you'd say if you were talking to your parents. I mean, like, there must be some suspects in the squad. Know. Or
it was kept very quiet, really. Kept away from the coaches, so leave them to it.
It's a good way to galvanise the squad by doing stuff like that, isn't it? Just a mess and act definitely. Yeah. Maggot.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Yeah, definitely. Stuff like that's great, you know. I think have a bit of fun. I think JP controls all the fun with us, you know, being a coach.
Yeah.
Defence there, he's pretty good in that sort of stuff, so he'll drive that quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I think he's good. Ulster being my favourite team to watch this year, I must say. Attack-wise, especially, I think the intent there and the variety in your play, is that something that you would focus on a lot? Speed of ball, tempo?
Yeah, I think speed of ball is definitely something. I think, you know, obviously, if you try and play quick, it's very difficult to defend. And I think it's just with the young kids, they bring a lot of enthusiasm as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you got to give them the license to go and play. I think that... you know, that's just my opinion. That if you stifle it and say, like, well, no, we've got to play this way, or we've got to stay to systems. Obviously, as Dev mentioned, the part one, the basics and stuff have to be there, but it's about having the intent to go and have a crack at people, really, with the ball, and that's what we try to do, you know. I think, I think having, as I mentioned, Billy at 10's been really good in that respect as well. He's come from Gloucester, chuck the ball around anyway, so he's keen to have a crack of things, so it's been good.
And how important is that as a scrum half, that speed of ball? Like, is it a split second thing that makes a difference in catching? It's something I've been kind of aware of over the last few weeks.
Massively,
watching
yeah.
scrum halves in the Six Nations.
Yeah, massively. I think that it's frustrating sometimes because I think the way the game's reffed, I think there's a lot of people who lay on the wrong side and move rolling into the nine, started coming into the game a bit. Ultimately, the split, like a split second, can cause massive difference for the defensive setup, really, in terms of how they get round the corner and stuff. So,
Peter, I remember a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, we sat down with Ulster and we did a goal setting session, you know, like typically you do. And the questions were, what do we want to be better than anybody else at? What do we want to kind of improve at? All these different categories, but the better than anybody else, everybody was saying we want to be more precise, we want to be more aggressive, we want to make Kingspan, the Fortress, all this stuff. One group came back and said, we want to be better at keeping Pienaar fit. And then I think Paul Marshall was there in the room and he was a bit gutted. But on that point, like, obviously Ulster have got, you know, vastly better this year. Is a lot of that because Marcel is fit and we're getting gain lines?
Well, obviously it helps. It helps when we got him, definitely. I think that, you know, he didn't play, what did he play, 80 minutes for us last year? And the year before, he didn't play that much either. So he's huge, isn't he? He's a huge guy and, you know, he's nice to have in the team. And just, as you said, just gets a gain line almost every time he carries. So it's pretty tough to stop, I think.
Yeah, he's just old school, isn't he? He must definitely make nine's jobs a gift. Just you get a gain line, you're going to get another gain line. You put Marcel on your team, and you're going to be way better off. So rugby's a really simple game. You get as many Marcels in your team as you think. Marcel's in the forwards, and Pienaar's in the back. I think that's the magic formula.
Yeah. Exactly. CJ Stander's a bit like that as well, isn't it? Like,
let's talk about Monster.
Conor Murray. I suddenly feel so alone. Grace, you were saying before, and I thought it was interesting about your current situation with coaching Malone, that you're pretty much a one-man band when it comes to prepping the team, logistics, washing the jerseys, picking the team, coaching the team. Are you physio as well? Is this a bit of everything?
I think it was worse at my old club. I kind of took every single role. I think Malone now is a really good setup with the women's section.
Okay.
So definitely in my old role, I was bottle washer, you know, physio bag filler, you know, bus organizer, organizing the food. And I think that's probably a problem with women's rugby, and especially at grassroots, is getting the volunteers in, or, you know, girls retire and they kind of disappear, but it's trying to, you know, retain people to help out and be involved with a team because, you know, you need them people around. And it's funny because when you're a player, you think, oh, I'll never get that same buzz again when I'm not playing anymore. You know, the big days, you know, and that's what you're training and putting the hard work in. But, you know, as a coach now or you see with managers or anyone involved with a team, like when you see your team doing well, you know, you kind of go through it with them. And I see there a few weeks ago, you know, we played a really big match with Malone. And the girls performed really well, you know, and you just take great pride in that. And I think people miss out when they don't volunteer, they don't help out at their local club or stay involved. Because I know for me, when I stepped away from the coaching and I had a year out, you know, it suddenly becomes a very quiet place, you know, when you don't have all your teammates around or, you know, a team. So I think being with Malone now is brilliant. You know, there's a really good setup. They've, you know, girls under 16s, under 14s, 18s. You know, a girl there 2 weeks ago turned 18 and now she's straight into a seconds team and a senior team. So it's that's what you want. You want these grassroots all the way up so that the girls can see then they can go to... Malone actually played halftime at the women's match on Saturday night. So, you know, yeah, they can see then their idols playing and that they have that opportunity to play. So... I think more clubs supporting their women's section will be huge.
Yeah. Woo! Fair play. Amen. Amen.
Duck feeder suspect.
Shout at her quick. Before we move on past the Welsh match and looking towards the big Brexit weekend when Ulster take a trip down to Dublin. What a random coincidence that is. Are you looking forward to that, Dwayne? That challenge, I suppose, and going into the belly of the beast?
Definitely. I think it'll be it's going to be awesome for us. I think that obviously the challenge is huge. You know, as you know, there's no doubt in that to go to Leinster, undoubtedly probably the best side, you know, over the last couple of years in Europe. So it's a huge challenge for us. But you know, we're looking forward to it, and I'm sure it'll be an awesome occasion.
Yeah,
Dev, will you even play the first that game? Will you play the second? In typical Lannister style.
I don't know how you want me to answer that. It's going to be a great weekend, I think. Obviously, for us, it's great being back in the Aviva, and we obviously love getting there and playing the big games there. And there's going to be no bigger weekend than obviously two Irish teams going at it. So it's obviously good to be missing it. I'd have loved to be involved, but obviously it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, it's the game that just keeps on giving when you've got Six Nations and you think, like, wow, this can't get much better than this. And then 2 weeks later, you get the quarterfinals with three Irish teams involved, and all of a sudden, we're in the World Cup before we know it. I want to actually take you back, Dwayne, quickly to Lions in 2005, was it? And we were looking up earlier on the moment when Drico, which was a big moment in Irish rugby, when Drico picked up the grass during the Haka, and you were at the front with him,
yep,
because you were the youngest,
yep,
player on the team, right?
Yep.
What was that experience like?
Pretty shit.
No, it was
so we were at the sort of the team meeting on the Thursday before the game, and they were saying, right, this is what we're going to do to the Haka. So, all right, okay, so we're going to get Drico up the front, and then we're going to get the youngest guy right behind him, and everyone else sort of 10 metres behind. So I'm looking around thinking, like, thinking, oh shit, it's me, right? So we practiced this, and like everyone's 10 metres behind. And then when the game came, they were actually about 30 metres behind. They were miles away, and it was just me and him up there. And I was like, all the eyes, he's on the floor, and everyone's looking at me. And I'm thinking, like, oh, here we go. But yeah, so that was the start of it, and it didn't get much better, actually. You know?
The ultimate backfire.
Exactly, yeah. So,
What was the significance of the toss grass?
So it was sort of like the leader and then the youngest warrior. And then the rest of the team then.
after. So, yeah, we clicked, well, team meeting Monday, first thing he said, right, we'll scrap that. That's gone. So, yeah, so I don't know, I was just trying something different. And
try something different, 5 minutes later, Dricko was going to stretch it off.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Kind of felt like you were being sacrificed as the youngest one.
Exactly.
Sacrifice our youngest to the Maoris.
Exactly.
Just on Wales then at the moment, what's happened during the week with the club scene, obviously there's been a lot of controversy around the chaos in the regions. Scarlets and Ospreys have had a lot of players that potentially be affected by it.
Yeah.
How tough would that be, I suppose, to put one side aside?
Yeah, I think it's huge, really, for the players. I think, you know, obviously, I think in every region at the minute, there's, say, 15 to 20 players not contracted. So they don't know if they've got jobs, in effect, with three pay packets left, you know. So it's more than just rugby, really, for them. You know, it's their livelihoods and mortgages, families, etc. So from that perspective, it's very tough on the players, I think. You know, to get that stuff right, and ultimately the union want to make steps to make sure that the future of Welsh rugby is strong and the future of Welsh rugby is successful. I think that you know, the regions in itself, I think they've gone pretty decent in some of the Pro 14 stuff or Pro 12, whatever it was a couple of years back, but you know, probably missed out a few times in Europe, I think, you know, obviously, and no one region's won a European title. So they're obviously striving for that, and it's about getting the balance for that right. But for the players, it's hard work, you know. For the staff, it's hard work, not just the coaching staff, it's whoever, really, physios and commercial, everything, isn't it? Mm. So it's pretty big week. It's pretty disappointing, really, for me. I like the way it was played out in the media a bit.
Mm. Timing wasn't great, obviously.
Timing's obviously difficult.
Six Nations,
yeah.
And yeah.
But they need to get something. They need whatever's going to happen needs to be done, really.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah. Great history of rugby in Wales, obviously, in the country, and you want to see it doing as well as they should, and which they obviously are internationally. But it would be great to see the club scene kick off a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's fairly new, really. I think the game weren't provincial in Wales in 2003, so it's not really been had a massive history there. You know, the regions have done well, and as I said, in the league stuff, Scarlets have, I think, four times Heineken Cup semi-finalists, but never really quite gone on there. But it'd be good to get it sorted, and then we can move on, really.
Okay, I suppose quickly back to Ulster for everyone in the room. Rory Best saying he might finish up after the World Cup. What do you think of that? Have you any much more information on it, or you'll have him back for Ulster? I presume you'll have him back for Ulster anyway.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I think that he's been, you know, great figure for Irish rugby, and you know, he's been a great leader for Ulster. I think he's this year's. I like speaking from my own opinion. I think he's playing some of his best stuff, really.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that he's been really, really good, and I think for us as in Ulster, he's been excellent. So JB, it'll be, you know, whatever decision he makes will be the best for him, I suppose.
You have a slag off him, would you? Go on.
It feels like we're coming to an end here, and we've just touched on Rory retiring and a lot of Welsh rugby players losing their jobs.
So take a turn for the worst there.
But that's all we've got time for.
We're going to lose our jobs as well. Before we finish up, for the tickets that we're going to give away, we're going to give away them afterwards when we make a decision on that. I think someone here, maybe Dev, is going to pick the winner. But on that note, Dev, I've just decided that right now. thank you all very much for coming out tonight. Did you have a good night?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. We give a big round of applause to our guests, Grace, Duane, and Devon, please.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe.
together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.